It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. An Australian comic is making waves for her new Netflix stand-up special, Nanette. Here's a clip from the trailer where the comedian Hannah Gadsby contemplates quitting comedy. It's this reversal partway through the show.
I do think I have to quit comedy, though. And it's probably not the forum to make such an announcement, is it? I've built a career out of self-deprecating humour, and I simply will not do that anymore, not to myself or anybody who identifies with me. Do you understand what self-deprecation means? It's not humility, it's humiliation.
Okay, so that's a bit from the trailer, but what she does in the show apparently is, I haven't seen it, but but both of you have?
Yes.
Yeah, so she lures you in with the comedy, and then we're talking about how we think about comedy and when it's okay and not okay to make a joke. My guests here to talk about this and more stories from our weekend is Valerie Curtis Newton, head of the directing program at the UW School of Drama. Welcome back.
Thanks. You so much.
Good to see you again. And David Schmader, writer-performer, who was editor, columnist for The Stranger. Good to see you again, David. Thanks.
Hello.
So, Valerie, what struck you about this comedy show, Nanette?
I thought that it did the thing that I'm most excited about in art, in that it entertains you. It reminds you that it's possible to laugh. And then when you're really listening, when she knows you're really listening, she says the really important thing that she wanted to say to you from the very beginning. Mm. So a really good writer or performer has a way of tapping into the core humanity and then being able to either hold up a mirror that says, this is what you are, or this is what I am.
And to you, what was that important thing she got around to saying?
That that people victimize each other all the time, and that it's possible to be complicit in your own victimization, and that she made the decision to stop being complicit and to hold other people accountable for their actions. That clip you played about not being humiliated, deciding to be humble but not humiliated, was a really important, I think, thing to say, because we as a culture, as Western cultures, are really big on pride and standing up in a certain way. And when you stand up, you become this huge target. And what people do is then they play low status all the time.
They play low status?
They play low status, which sort of says, don't really look at me over here doing this thing. I'm really nobody. So you don't have to be afraid of me. So you don't have to attack me. So you don't have to, just don't pay attention. I can't hurt you. I won't hurt you. I'm just going to come in under the radar. And what she said is, finally, I'm standing up to my full height. And if you can't handle it, that's your issue. Your feelings are not my issue any longer.
Well, when it comes to comedy, David, what she says in that quote is, I built a career out of self-deprecation, and I don't want to do that anymore. Do you understand what self-deprecation means from somebody who already exists in the margins? And she's lesbian, this woman, Hannah Gadsby. She says, it's not humility, it's humiliation. Is she criticizing comedy, David, or just a certain kind of self-deprecating comedy?
I think it's a certain type of self-deprecating comedy, and I think so much of it has to do with her being a non-gender conforming lesbian from Tasmania. So much of the power comes from that, because no one could say self-deprecating comedy is going out the window, because if a powerful, it's kind of the only tool in a powerful white male comedian's arsenal. If you have the power, go after yourself. I think it was more about this way to make yourself digestible and an acceptable punchline kind of persona of, oh, I'm the lesbian from Tasmania. It's like, no more. You're going to hear what it's really like to be a lesbian from Tasmania now. And so much of the power of it comes from what I didn't know about how regressive Tasmania is. It was illegal to be homosexual there till 1997, which is when Radiohead released OK Computer, just for history
buffs. Thank you.
Thank you. It's like recent.
Yes.
And so it was felt way more personal for her of like, I will not take this common path to comedy success, which is, oh, look at me, I'm just a bag of guts, when I'm living in a world that really does treat me like I'm just a bag of guts.
Do you get the so in the show, it sounds like she does stand-up comedy and then turns against stand-up comedy in a way and explains what really happened in those wacky stories that she had to leave out because it wasn't punchline-y. But do you, Valerie, think that she is leaving behind comedy, really?
I don't. I think she's okay. Decided to tell the truth. And whatever shape the truth takes, actually to stand up for that. Whereas,
do people want to listen to that? If I'm not going to get pulled, so you're a stranger and you're going to tell me devastating stories. Oh, and I'm not going to get to laugh
no,
in relief.
No. I think you're making a mistake, which is that, in fact, the pain of our life doesn't actually contain humor. Because it does. You can't watch somebody like Richard Pryor and think that his life was all roses. In fact, he would tell he told the story of his heart attack, and it was hysterically funny because he had a gift for making us laugh. And I think if she has the gift of comedy, it doesn't matter whether it's a setup in a punchline or whether it's a true story that's poignant and difficult to accept on its own. It's the finding the humor in it, regardless. But telling the truth, I think she's decided not to lie to make other people comfortable. And I get it. I get that as a Black queer woman, that it's really, I'm often challenged with how do I make other people feel comfortable with me? And knowing where the line is for me, what allows me not to be curled up in my bed day after day, but in fact to go out into the world, is that I have to tell tell the truth, sometimes in situations where it's not wanted to be heard. And
yeah.
Be okay with the consequences of having told the truth.
David, maybe that gets us to our next topic that talking about rather than curling up, what do we do instead of curling up in our bed? You were saying that we're going to talk about the resistance and civility rearing its head again, right? So there's a connection there. What do we do? What do we do?
Yeah. Like I tossed out and out when we were talking about stuff was like, the rhythm of my life these days is horrified by facts of the news,
uh-huh,
and then what I do to divert and or sustain myself from, so I am ready for more horrible facts from the news and don't want to kill myself or anyone else.
Yes.
So just these kind of little entertainment art drugs we give ourselves. It could be a song you love that just like gets you where you need to go. And Nanette, I think that one reason I love the Nanette special so much is we're at a really coarse point in our national dialogue, and I love that people are still fussing over the finer points of representation and discussion and how you talk about yourself when we have a president who is a blatant racist. And like that, there's maybe some people would say, like, are we arguing about which fork to use when the house is on fire?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it's important that we keep some standards and we keep progressing forward and not let the kind of crudeness of the national conversation drag us away from these more pointed conversations that also need to be had and can't be drowned out because we have a monster in charge right
now. Okay, well, so let's talk about keeping our standards and whether we're getting dragged away, because over the weekend there was more yelling at Republicans in their personal space. This is Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell being pursued by protesters through a restaurant parking lot in Louisville. You're reacting to "We Know Where You Live"?
Oh, that ruins it.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that is happening just in our culture overall is the use of our own personal video abilities. So there's always been police brutality, but now there are 100 cell phones taking that video and posting it. There has always been a harassment of our public officials by the opposition party. There always has been. But now it's videotaped and broadcast and millions of people can like it. And so there's a way in which it's reverberating louder. It's a behavior that has always existed, but now it reverberates louder because of the way that the internet works, the way that media works now. And I think it's very interesting. When Ellen DeGeneres came out in the early 90s there was this huge wave of conservative backlash. They boycotted everybody who even said her name. All the advertisers were boycotted. Her show got canceled. In that time, for those people, voicing your opinion about what was on the show to the advertisers was a tactic that was acceptable.
So how do you compare that with...
When it's turned, and now people are attacking the going after the advertisers for Laura Ingraham, for going after the Parkland students, now the liberals are so hypersensitive curtailing free speech by making people have consequences. But it's always been there.
But do you want the consequence to come up when a Republican is dining?
I think this could really help a lot is if those people were yelling something positive, like you're great at being terrible, or just like keep it away from like we know where you live. But I think it's perfectly fine to if there's a government employee. We're living through an extreme time. And if you can, why I was so mad about we know where you live is because that ruined it. I think you can disrupt an evening of a politician who is doing immoral things with no compunction, but we've got to keep emotion out of it. We've got to keep threats out of it. It's just got to be you don't belong in society if you're going to behave this way.
What about Turtlehead?
That is a personal slight, except it's also a fact. It's just,
it's just factual observance of Mitch McConnell's actual head. Okay. Valerie, what do you do when you are feeling anger or hopelessness? And of course, I'm asking for a friend, and my friend is the listeners to this radio station.
This is one of my deep, dark secrets. I'm pretty prolific on Facebook. I share lots of news. I get it from lots of different sources, and I share a lot of things. But the thing I cannot resist are videos of dancing babies.
Dancing babies. David, did a little hands dance.
There's no arguing.
Are these videos or animation? Are the babies actually dancing?
They're on YouTube.
Okay.
And
they're on YouTube.
People post videos of their children dancing, whatever the tunes are, and they are always so free, so uninhibited, and so flat out happy that it's infectious. And so I post them. I repost them and retweet them so that other people can have that moment of a giggle when that little boy starts doing the cowboy dance or that little girl starts being a ballerina.
Can you be, are you that uninhibited personally? Can you still be?
Not very often. There are some moments in some circles where I can be flat out silly, but I don't try to tell that to everyone all the time.
It
ruins my mystique and my allure.
David, you still have is there a dancing baby inside of you?
I do like a dancing baby. I like all sorts of little endorphin hit videos. For secular people, it's kind of our main trafficking of like, here's an emotion for you that we can share.
Yes.
My big thing since the entire Trump administration has been I'm super into film noir. I can't deal with violence, so I really like movies from 1944 to 1959, where like there's a shadow and a knife, and the wind blows the curtain.
The curtain,
across.
Yeah.
So, really into that. That's kind of been my big thing. Is I'll just watch a nice contained crime story that's already been made like 500 years ago.
I think it's just so important to figure out what brings you a moment of relief, because otherwise, the thing that happens, we want to save some part of our humanity, keep it alive. And so making the decision to remember to laugh keeps open the possibility that it's going to be a better day tomorrow.
Thanks for keeping it alive with us for a few minutes today. Valerie Curtis Newton, head of directing program, UW School of Drama, oversees the Hansberry Project, professional African-American theater lab. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
David Schmader, writer, performer, now a senior editor at Leafly and author of the book Weed, The User's Guide, Whatever Gets You Through. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
The Record on KUOW.